Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. And as always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before you on Wednesday night as we explore the words of God together. I pray that each and every one of you had received many blessings that you may have been looking for, and that God allowed you to know that He's right there with you, and that you trust Him with your whole heart. We have finished going through the Bible, the Old Testament, and through the New Testament, and last week we visited the book of Revelation. Well, on tonight, what I'm going to do is I'm back in the book of Genesis, but I don't know if I will do each book like I did before, but I have been moved to talk about the characters in the Bible. And the reason for that is God allowed the 40 men from all walks of life to write the Bible. All of the Word of God is inspired by God, but is written by man. And God gave us many characters: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, the Apostle Paul, Matthew, Mark, to let us see how He worked and choose and be with the people of God. He's letting us know that just as He worked with them, that's what He's doing for you. And you could be assured, and you could understand how God really works through His people. And then you could begin to trust Him, because His word is truth. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Genesis. The character that we're going to look at tonight and understand what do God wants us to take from this example. It's the life of Joseph. And it's not Joseph, Mary's husband, but Joseph, the son of Jacob, one of the tribes of Israel. The title of our lesson is, We Must Learn to Wait Until Our Change Comes. I ask you guys to read the 42nd, 3rd, 4th, and we're going to explore the 45th chapter. For those who want to go back and meditate and study more on the life of Joseph, you can find it in the book of Genesis, starting in the 37th chapter all the way through the 50th. But at this time, I'm going to play a song, as I always do. And I chose this song because it's appropriate. And when I read the life of Joseph, I could realize that God was in the plan, and He understands what we're going through, and He has a master plan through all of those adversities, trials, and tribulations, and we could see how He's going to bring us through. So the name of the song tonight is I'm Right in the Middle Of. So listen to the song. After that, we're going to come back to go to the throne of grace in prayer. For those who don't have your Bible, get your Bible, go to the book of Genesis, go to the 45th chapter, and we're going to do the studying after the prayer, after the song. Thank you.
It seems hard to see I care for you, and sometimes it's hard for you to see that I'm there with you. Oh, be strong, hold on, and know times I must question your faith. Oh, don't give up, always look up, don't give in. I'm right there in the middle, yeah, yeah. Hey, thought I'd come right there. Tried to take your hope away. I was there when you didn't know you're right from wrong. Yeah, I was there when your friends walked out on you. I was there when you didn't know what to do. Yeah, when you searched and found all of your family was gone. When you couldn't see your night from day. Oh,
letting you know that no matter what you're going through, God is in the middle of it. And that's another song that says, even when you cannot hear his voice, just trust his plan. He's God, and he do understand. At this time, we're going to go to the throne of grace, and I'm so happy and elated that my grandson is on the line tonight. And I very seldom do this, but I just need to make a shout out to my family because I'm so elated that they call week after week and, you know, come to the program. And during the week, we discuss the things of God together. And that's a blessing because the Bible says if a family begins to pray together, they will stay together. On the line, I have my aunt, the oldest aunt in my family. She's calling in from Houma, Louisiana, and I feel blessed. My grandson is on the line. My daughter is on the line. My sister is on the line. So, I mean, that's really, really good, and I'm very, very happy. I'm overflowing with joy and I'm grateful. So at this time, my grandson is going to lead us in prayer. And then we're going to, when he's finished, we're going to explore the word of God together. Madison?
Yes, ma'am.
Your mic is open. Do you want to say anything to the people tonight?
No, ma'am.
Would you like to lead us in prayer?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
God, thank you for this beautiful day. Allow me to come back and answer in with grace. And thanks for allowing my grandma to have this wonderful channel that people could tune in from all across the world and listen. Thank you, God. And I would like to thank my mom from coming right here to listen in so she could get a little grace before she goes to sleep tomorrow. And I want you to watch over the people that's listening to the program right now and help us spread your word around the world, God. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Madison. And if it's God's will and you find a way to be on the program tonight, I mean to next week, I will be very happy. Thank you so much. I'm so proud of you, and I love you. Keep doing the things that God wants you to do. And I'm asking everybody on the line. My grandson is 13 years old. He's going to go to high school on next week, and we have to pray for our youth. We know what's happening in the streets of New Orleans, and it's so easy to get in trouble, but it's so hard to get out. And we have to do what God has asked us to do, to intercede for one another. And I'm asking that each and every one of you call my grandson's name, Madison, out in your prayer to the Father so that he could be protected, that he could have a gate around him, that he could have favor in his life, that he could become the man that God wants him to be. And I thank you in advance for the prayers that the saints is going to send up in his behalf. Well, it's time to explore the word. We are in the book of Genesis, the 45th chapter. I hope each and every one of you have your Bibles. We're going to look at the life of Joseph. And, you know, all the time I give background to try to put you right where we are. So I'm going to do the background now, and then we're going to look at the verses in the 45th chapter, and we're going to explore them. I want you to know that Joseph had a lot of things going his way in his life in the beginning. Joseph was a very handsome man. Joseph was the 11th child born to Jacob, but he was the first child born by Rachel, the woman that Jacob loved the most. When you read those verses, you're going to see what I'm talking about, because Jacob wanted Rachel, and Rachel's father tricked him into marrying Leah, her sister. And he had Jacob to keep doing things and keep doing things till he could have Rachel, but Jacob never gave up. Rachel took a long time to have a son, and Rachel, as well as Jacob, had got older in life and maybe thought they wouldn't be a child, but then they had Joseph. Joseph became his father's favorite child. Remember, it was the first child by Rachel, the woman he loved the most. He was born in Jacob's old age. And Jacob was very, very, very beholden to Joseph. He did things and chose Joseph over his other sons, and he made Joseph a coat of many colors. And, of course, you could imagine that this would cause discourse within the family. And the children knew, the other sons knew that Jacob loved Joseph best. And it caused them to hate him. You know, the animosity between them had grown so strong that they decided to kill Joseph. One of the brothers said, let's not kill him, but let's just put him in a deep hole. And the brother had to leave. And then the other brothers that were still there said, no, let's take and sell him. So what they did, they sold him to some merchants. Can you imagine how it must have felt that your brothers hated you so much? And you got to really look at this at eyes view and understand that God is in the middle of everything as the story progresses. Just remember that. So, Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt. And it was the merchants of a high Egyptian king well, really, he wasn't with the king then, but a high Egyptian named Potiphar. He was a high-ranking man in Egyptian, and he bought Joseph from the merchants. And eventually, Joseph became the supervisor of the household. You see, Potiphar could see that whatever Joseph did, God looked favorable upon him, and he prospered in all that he did. Come on, y'all. Can anybody see anything in you that allow you to have favor? You know, favor comes when God changed the hearts of the people towards his people, that he wants favor to be extended on. You see, Potiphar could see what Joseph was working with. But you see, Joseph was back doing good, even though he was sold in slavery. He was hated by his brothers. They took his coat and they dipped it in goat's blood and brought it back to his daddy and told his daddy that he was killed. And because that was his daddy, that because his daddy loved him so much, it grieved him beyond repair. But eventually, Rachel had another son for Jacob, and his name was Benjamin. So Jacob became very protective of Benjamin because he figured, I done lost Joseph. I dare not lose Benjamin. So they went on, and things went on, and Joseph was all right. He was sold, but now he's, you know, with a high-ranking Egyptian, and he's the supervisor of the whole household. But unfortunately, Potiphar's wife saw Joseph and wanted him. She attempted to seduce him. Joseph refused. She kept it up. She didn't give up. And one day Potiphar's wife caught Joseph by his cloak and again made sexual advances. Joseph fled. He fled. He left his coat, and it was in her hand. You see, she's mad now, and in anger, she falsely accused Joseph of attempted rape. And Potiphar had to listen to his wife. I don't think he had to, but you know how I go. You know, I guess he felt all that I did for Joseph. Why would he do something like this to me? Potiphar put Joseph in prison. Can you see the ups and downs of life of Joseph as we go through this? And that's how it is in many of our lives. We up, we down. We have trials, tribulations. We get straight. We might get down again. But God is in the middle. But you see, in jail, Joseph was again blessed by God. Joseph became a chief in jail. And in our days, they call him, I can't even think of the name. The guys that have a little more trustees, they call him trustees. So he became like a big-time trustee in the jail. You see, and God had given Joseph the ability to interpret dreams. While in jail, they had two fellow prisoners, and they both had dreams. Joseph interpret the dreams. And upon interpreting the dreams, he said that one would die, and of course he did, and that the other one would be restored back to the king, because this one was a cupbearer for the king. And Joseph told him, man, when you get out, you know, just remember me. You know, I have so many men in prisons that's really innocent. And they're always trying to tell a story, and they're always trying to get someone to listen to their story. So Joseph told him, when you get out, remember me, you know, tell my story to somebody might could help me. But the cupbearer got out of jail. He forgot all about Joseph. And then 2 years later, the king had a dream. And nobody in the land could interpret the dream, not none of his big-time people, nobody. And the cupbearer thought there was a man named Joseph in prison, and he can interpret dreams. The king sent for Joseph. Joseph interpreted the dream. Not only did he interpret the dream, because he told him, he said, it's going to be 7 years of famine. He says, so before this stuff, and they're going to be so many years of plentiful. So in the years of plentiful, you need to just gather up all you can and store it. Because when the famine come, you know, nobody's going to be able to plant or do a harvest, because it's going to be devastation. So the king agreed with Joseph. He believed Joseph. And he made Joseph a ruler in Egypt, second only to the king. Joseph was in charge of storing up the food during the years of plenty and selling it to the Egyptian and all the foreign countries during the years of famine. And at this time, that's how Egypt became the richest nation in the world. They was the only one with supply. And they had a lot of demand. You see, when the famine struck, it went so far till it also reached Canaan. And Canaan is where Joseph was from, and his father and his brothers and all of his people were still living. You see, the famine even struck Canaan. So Jacob sent 10 of his boys to Egypt to buy grain. Remember, he had 12 sons. Joseph, he thought, was dead, and he was protected of Benjamin, so he wasn't letting him go. But the other 10, he sent them to Egypt to buy grain. While in Egypt, the men met their long-lost brother. But guess what? They didn't recognize him. You see, Joseph, first of all, years had passed, and Joseph was dressed like a king and looking like a king. And you know, when you look at them Egyptian pictures, he had the dark stuff on his eyes and the thing on his head and beautiful material and jewelry. They didn't recognize him. And he recognized them. He tested them by accusing them of being spies. He held them for 3 days, and then he released all but one, sending them with grain for their household and requiring them to come back with the youngest brother. How you like that? You see, they were still unaware of Joseph's identity, and the brothers was afflicted with guilt for having sold a brother years before. Even though this happened, they thinking about, I guess, all of their sorrow. And maybe they thinking back, they could be reaping some of the stuff that they sold by sowing their brother. And they, you know, were really sad. But they was unaware of his identity. You see, and while they was talking and you know, reminiscing and feeling godly sorrow and even maybe crying, Joseph overheard their discussion and turned aside to weep. So what he did, he told them, y'all go on back. And I'm going to keep Simeon. But he secretly put some money in his sack. When the brothers realized that the money had been returned, they feared. You know, they got home, they told their dad all about what had happened. But he refused to send Benjamin. And you see, Reuben had promised that if he would not return with Benjamin, Jacob could kill Reuben's two sons. You know, at that time, Jacob was saying, oh, no, this is not going to happen. I will not allow Benjamin to leave. I done lost Joseph, you know, from the woman I love, and so on. But, you know, the famine became so severe that Jacob had to have a change of heart. Judah, which was another brother, persuaded Jacob to send Benjamin with him, giving his own life as a pledge. Jacob agreed, sending also gifts for the king to try to find, to try to buy favor and to show that, you know, I'm thankful in advance for what you're doing. You know, the money that it cost to buy the grain, he sent double money. Yeah, I guess he was saying, you know, let me pay for the stuff. I'm giving you more. Send my sons back to me. They go back, and when Joseph saw the men, he instructed his servants to slaughter an animal and prepare a meal for the brothers to dine with him. You see, afraid at the invitation to Joseph's house, the brothers made apologies to Joseph's stewards for the money that had been replaced the first time. See, the first time when they left, Joseph said, look, put their money back in their bag. So they didn't know if they was going to be accused of a theft, and they was being set to be killed by this Joseph who's in charge. But you see, Joseph's steward reassured them and brought Simeon out. When Joseph returned, the brothers bowed down to him. Now, one of the reasons Joseph's brothers hated him, because God had given him the gift to interpret dreams. You remember he interpreted the dreams in a jail, but he also had a lot of dreams when he was young. You know, he was a tattletale, and he was really had a little drama with him because he was the favorite. You know, he didn't do much work, so he would always give his dad a bad report on the brothers, which caused them to hate him. And then he started telling them the dreams that he was having. He, at one point, I think he told him a dream that his brothers would bow down to him. And then he came back and had another dream and said not only his brothers, but his mother and his father going to bow down. That infuriated him. But you see right here, they say when they came back and Joseph had them to dinner, and they still didn't know who he was, but because of his authority, the brothers bowed down to him. And that was the fulfillment of his earlier prophecy. He asked about their family's welfare, and again he cried. Can you imagine how that is? He was separated from his brothers all of that time. And they got rid of him. When people turn their back on you. And now he's face to face with them. When the men sat down for the meal at the separate table from Joseph, they were amazed that he arranged by birth order. And I guess they say, how he know? You know, he set them the oldest, the next to the oldest, the next to the oldest. And when he issued out everything, he gave Benjamin five times the portion he gave the other brothers. That didn't, you know, bring up any clues to them of who it was. They didn't understand, but they didn't, you know why. So after they ate with him and they dined with him and Joseph wept, he sent them back to their father. And this time he also tested them again by returning the money to their sacks. But this time he put a silver cup in Benjamin's sack. He let the brothers start on their journey and then sent the steward after them in great anger and threatened to kill Benjamin. Back in Joseph's presence, the brother pleaded for Benjamin's life, saying that if Benjamin were to die, so would our father Jacob. Now, as we go in this story, can you see the hand of God? That even though all of these things were happening, you have to realize what the Bible teaches us, that God has a master plan for each and every one of our lives. And our lives may have ups and downs, curves, setbacks, and all of these things. But God uses everything that he has created for his glory. And he used everything that he has allowed or orchestrated in our life to get us to the intended purpose that he has designed for us before the foundation of the world. You know, when we read Jeremiah 29 and 11, it says, I know God is speaking to Jeremiah, and God is telling Jeremiah to let us know that he knows the thoughts that he have towards us. Thoughts of good and not evil. And all of his thoughts towards us is necessary to get us to our intended purpose. And we could see this so true in the life of Joseph. And that's how it got started. So I gave you that background in the scripture. Our scriptures for the night starts in the 45th verse. And I gave the background up until this point. So please open your Bibles to Genesis 45th chapter, first verse. And we're going to read the scripture as follows. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried. Caused every man to go out from me. And there stood no men with him. While Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept out aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh also heard. And Joseph said unto his brothers, I am Joseph. And he asked them, the scripture, y'all, do our father yet live? And his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto the brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. And even though Joseph was sold as a slave in Egypt, we're looking at this scripture right now where he's the second in charge to the king. You see, upon seeing this proof of his brother's change of heart, they were godly sorrow, you know. They were godly sorry, and, you know, they was expressing humbleness, you know. And upon seeing this, Joseph sent all his servants away and wept openly. And then that's when he told his brothers who he was. And if we go to the fifth verse, it says, now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourself that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Hallelujah. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 more years to come, in which there will neither be earing no harvest. That means planting and gathering up. And verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you for the posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And the 8th verse says, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph is telling him, you know, I'm okay. You know, what you set out and what you did, it has all been turned around. Now, when you read the scripture, you're going to see how Joseph honored God and was trying to be righteous in all he did. And you see, no matter what his circumstance or situation was, he didn't sit down grumbling. He didn't try to blame somebody else he didn't even blame his brothers that really, truly sold him. You know, God, Joseph just was taking his lickings and believing in God, and he kept it moving. We can learn from that in Joseph's life. No matter what was happening, he believed that God was with him. And we know Joseph was letting his light so shine that men could see the good work and glorify the Father, because Potiphar could see that God was with Joseph. He said everything Joseph did prospered. And you see, when we looked at that, we could say now Joseph understand his purpose and God's divine order. You see, what the devil had set up for the bad, oh, but God turned it around for the good. We have to learn to wait until our change come in certain situations. You know, we always say nothing happens unless God orchestrated or allowed it. And if he orchestrated or if he allowed it, he's in the middle of it, as the song said, working it out together for your good. You got to let him have his way. You see, Joseph immediately reassured them, telling them that he was not angry with them, and they shouldn't be angry with themselves for what they had done. And Joseph said that God has sent me to Egypt in order to preserve life. You see, God knew it was going to be a famine, and he needed someone in Egypt to be able to help his people. God has sent people ahead of you and got people all around for you to let his plan, you know, be complete. You don't have to worry. God's got it. Look at this. That's how you know what God is doing and has done and decided that he will do for his people. Joseph not give affirmed forgiveness by saying that although you intended evil to me, God intended it for the good. After all that you have been through, and if you take time and look back over your life, you can truly say that you have been blessed, and some of the things in your life was there, and now you have a testimony. We don't know the plan of God, why he allows some things to happen. But we could thank God for the outcome. Hallelujah. If we look at verse 9, it says, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, this is Joseph talking to his brothers in verse 9 in chapter 45. Thus say, thy son Joseph, God had made me Lord of all Egypt. And he told him, he's telling his father, come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me. He said, not just you, the scripture says, thou and thy children's children, and all of your flock and your herd, and all that they have, that thou have. And verse 11 says, and there I will nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou have come to poverty. In verse 12 say, and behold, your eyes see, and your eyes of your brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh to you. He said, look, you know, what you see is really real. This is really me, your brother. And I'm telling you, go get my dad and all of y'all. Y'all come back, and I'm going to let y'all live in a whole private section called Gershom. He's saying, and y'all going to be near me, and I'm going to take care of you. And on verse 13, and ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And verse 14 say, and he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. 15, moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked to him. That's pretty cool. After the brothers understood, they began to talk now. They reminiscing, and, you know, they got the forgiveness out the way, and then they realized it was a part of God's plan, and now they could talk together with one another. You know, so at this point, Joseph sent his brothers back to Jacob to retrieve the remaining of the household to come and live in Goshen, where they would live near Joseph, and he would provide for them. Verse 16, and the famine thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph, brothers are come. This scripture, y'all. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. See, Joseph was admired. He had become like a father to Pharaoh. And all of the servants, because he probably treated them right, they loved Joseph as well. And 17, and then you got to remember, God was in a plan. And then 17, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, watch this. This is our last part, that the scripture that I'm going to read. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lad, your beast, and go. Get you into the land of Canaan. Go back to Canaan, he's telling him. 18, and take your father and your household. This the king talking now, y'all, and come to me. Look what he say. I will give you the good of the land in Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. King told him, you Joseph people, go get your dad and the rest of y'all, come back. He said, I'm going to give y'all a good land. It's the king now, y'all. And y'all going to eat off the fat of the land. And verse 19 say, now thou art commanded, do this do ye. Let me start over. Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones. He said, go ahead and get a bunch of stuff, you know. When y'all come back, I don't even want y'all to have to walk. He said, go over there to the place where the wagon's at. He's saying, get a bunch of wagons so when you go, you can have the wagon for your little ones. That's favor, y'all, and for your wives. And bring your father and come. And this verse 20 says, also, regard not your stuff for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. That's powerful. He said, y'all ain't got to bring stuff back if you don't want, because I got you right here. He said, all for the good of all the land of Egypt, he said, is yours. That's the last scripture for the night. I'm going to expound on it, and we'll come to a close. But just as the Lord was with Joseph, I want to tell you tonight that he's with you every step of the way. You remember God promised never to leave nor forsake you. You know, there may be many distressing circumstances we find ourselves in, and some of them may even be unjust, are things you couldn't control, things you have to sit down and ask, why me? How could, you know, this be happen to me? Be happening to me. But God is right there in the middle of it. Just like he was with Joseph, he's with you. However, as we learn from the account of Joseph's life by remaining, you see, that's why I told you when you read, you'll see that Joseph remained faithful. He accepted God was in ultimate control. And he learned to wait till his change come. You know, we could be confident that God will reward our faithfulness in the fullness of time. You see, each time he did more and more for Joseph, it was the fullness of that time. You know, God allowed Joseph to go to jail. He was in Potiphar's house in jail. It was a period of 13 years because everybody want to know how many years Joseph was in jail. But we know after he told a dream and a cupbearer got out, he stayed in 2 years before they mentioned it to him. And we know he was in 2 years before that. But it was 13 years total in Potiphar's house and the time he spent in jail. But you see, when God allowed Joseph to go to jail, you know, you could look at that. You know, Joseph was spoiled. And Joseph didn't have to work a lot. And Joseph knew, you know, he was probably puffed up in pride. And he was the one that had the coat of many colors. You know, sometimes God will set you down because he got to refine you. Come on, y'all. He got to refine you to be able to use you. So, you know, you'll say, well, why God allowed him to go to jail? God know why. But when he came out, he was an humble man. You know, he came out, he was a working man. Because when he went to Potiphar's, he worked well. And in jail, he even worked even harder. So now he know how to work. Come on now. And that experience of working was going to allow him to rule Egypt. You see, but it's all in the fulfillment of time. And you got to know it's not our time, but it's on God's timetable. You see, Joseph's story also represents amazing insight into how God sovereignly works to overcome evil and bring about his plan. After all his ordeals, Joseph was able to see God's hand at work. Do you take time and look at your life, your circumstances, your good, your bad, and your ugly, and you could determine where God's hand had, you know, turned it around or fixed it or elevated, and you didn't have much to do with it? Because it's going to always happen that way, because God said he's never going to give you an opportunity to be able to boast, I did this on my own. Nobody helped me. And if you do that, that's pride, and you're talking about you, and you're taking glory away from God. And God doesn't like that. Everything we own belongs to God. We only stewards. Our time, our talents, our money, our resources, it's all God. God is allowing us to use this to be able to operate on the earth, and one day he's coming back. And if you accepted Christ, the only thing that will have to be judged, not your sins, if you're saved or not saved, but the works that you did. And watch this. With what God gave you to work with. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You know, as he revealed his identities to his brothers, Joseph spoke of their sins in this way. He said, do not, this is in the 50th chapter of Genesis. He said, because it's just scripture, do not distress and do not be angry with yourself for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. And it wasn't only for Joseph's family, but it was for the whole Israelites. And it was for other nations. Egypt was the only place with grain. So Joseph became kind of symbolic of a savior. You see, we all want salvation, and people is looking for salvation on the other side. But the definition of salvation means save. So anytime God is saving you from danger, seen and unseen, that's salvation. Anytime God delivered you out of the floods of Katrina, he saved you. That's a part of salvation. So there's salvation here on earth where people look at it as something, as a piece of the pie in the sky, just for eternal life. But God is constantly saving us by his power. You know, it was not you who sent me, but God. He said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for my good. And we always have to remember that grace is God giving us what we could never deserve. And mercy steps in, and it holds back the punishment we do deserve. You know how we done did things in our life, and some person, some other people did the same thing you did, but you didn't get caught? Come on, y'all. That's mercy. It's holding back what you deserve, and God grants us mercy. You know, that's why when you hear somebody cry out, say, Lord, have mercy on me, and when mercy is, I'm sorry, Lord, have, show, you know, Lord, show mercy upon me, and when mercy is through, please allow grace to step in. You know, they go hand in hand. One holds back and one gives. How could you lose with that? That's complete. And you need to know tonight that all of the evil that's happening in the world, all the wickedness, all the unjust, all whatever that a man can do, all of his evil intentions can never dwarf the perfect plan of God. God have a master plan for all of our lives. Hallelujah. You see, and that's our lesson, but I got to throw this in for you. You see, Jacob's descendants lived in Egypt for 400 years. And over time, a new Pharaoh came into power. And you see, he wasn't all that familiar with that Joseph family, because probably then Joseph was dead maybe as well. He wasn't familiar with Joseph and Joseph's family and how he had made Egypt the richest nation. And if he did know of it, he didn't care. And you see, just like the Pharaoh who loved Joseph, you know, he didn't let people speak in his ear concerning Joseph. Because you see, when Joseph cried out and everybody heard, even the servants wanted to see what they could do. But this king, he let them talk in his ear. And they say, you know, if these, you allow these Egyptians, I mean, these Israelites to continue to live in Egypt, their number's going to be so big, and they're going to have more cattle, and they're going to overpower, they would be able to overpower us. Let's make them slaves. So with Joseph's story being told, that I gave you that, and now you know how the Israelites got in Egypt and how the Israelites became slaves. But even after they became slaves, they cried out to God, and God in his own time. See, and that's what you can't get mad with, like he's taking too long. You are not afforded the privilege to make the timetable for God. they cried out and they cried out and they cried out, and God in his own time sent Moses to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. And then Moses, with the help of God, delivered them out of Egypt and led them into the wilderness, the desert, where they wandered for 40 years. And watch this. God uses everybody, like I say. Joseph had a purpose. We saw Jacob's purpose. We saw each brother's purpose. You know, we talked about purpose in the lives of people. And then, you know, we just talked about, you know, this and that. And I said Moses helped God deliver them and led them out the desert. And I'm going to close with this last sentence. Then Joshua brought them to the promised land. And tonight I want to tell you, no matter what's going on in your life, God always have a ram in the bush. That's our lesson for tonight. I pray that you could take some of the illustrations and the scriptures that you got about Joseph and realize that how God did it for Joseph, he could do it for you. And as Joseph stayed faithful, and you do that, and you wait till your change come, and you just trust God, and God will see you through. That's our lesson. And at this time, if anyone would like to add anything to the lesson, anyone would like to say encouragements, anyone would like to pray, okay, I have a caller. Caller, your number is 504-756. Caller, your mic is open. Caller?
There's no sign of explosion yet.
Their mic must be on, I must say. Call a 504-756. Your mic is open. Okay, that must have been an error. If anybody else would like to lead us out in prayer, they want to make a comment on the lesson, you want to pray, anybody need prayer, anybody want to do words of encouragement, you can press the one button at this time. If anybody would like, okay, caller, your number is 504-355. Your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon, Ms. Diane, and everyone that's on the broadcast. And this is Kathy Foxworth, and I want to take and try to lead you guys in prayer. It's not something that I do all the time, but I've been trying and asking the Lord to pray. I want to say thank you, Heavenly Father, for this ministry. Sometimes I can't particularly go to Bible class at my church. I would like to. But right now I'm taking and cooking and getting ready to try to get some money to hustle for me to get out of town for Mother's Day. I want to take the time to say I want to bless Ms. Diane for the ministry that she's doing, because it's so fantastic. I just can't even think of a word in West for that to express her, even as the person that she is. She's just a fantastic person, and I love her like a mom, because I don't have my mom anymore, but my mom was a great person. And I want to say, Lord, I want you to take the time to bless our children, and hopefully they can get with a church, Lord, and with somebody like Ms. Diane with the ministry to lead them in the right way, because every day I take and see the prayer and God is needed in schools, because I'm a substitute teacher sometimes, and we really, really need it. We have some children that's being so disrespectful. For Lord, we need to take the time to touch the hands of our children, touch the hands of our president, touch the hands of our new mayor and our new council people to help them lead this city in the better conditions that we have been living in after Katrina. We really need some help. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, for being who you were, to give your only begotten son to give his life to save us. And after that, I want to say amen. Thank you for giving me a time to say a prayer. I've been practicing on it, so hopefully I can get better. So thank you, Ms. Diane.
Thank you, Kathy. Your prayer was wonderful, baby. your
Thank
prayer
you.
Was in order. You know, don't think that you got to get the best prayer. You know, somebody pray better than you. Your prayer is your prayer. And God, praying is talking to God. And you did excellent on tonight. And I thank you for the courage to come and do that. And then, you see, when you take one step, God will take two. And the Holy Ghost is going to bring you to another level because you done stepped out on your faith. So you keep doing that, and God is going to keep using you. And you be
yes,
blessed
ma'am.
Also.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And it's now the 8:30 hour, and, you know, no matter how what I have to say, I try to finish at 8:30, but I cannot go off the air without telling all of the mothers, Happy Mother's Day. And God made mothers special. And if you have a mother, and even though it may not be all that you would hope for it to be, you always have to remember that God put mothers with children. Children didn't pick their mothers, and the mothers didn't pick their children. But if you trust God and you believe that he have a master plan and that he makes no mistakes, then you could embrace what he has given you, the mother that he has given you, because he know what he's doing. We didn't pick our children, and our children didn't pick us. It was all orchestrated by God, and he makes no mistakes. Love your mother. And, you know, just hold on because time is running out, and we're going to wake up and everything. You know, she's going to be gone, and what you could have said, you're not going to be able to say. I have a caller that's calling in. Caller, your number is 504-858. Your mic is open.
Hi, Happy Mother's Day, Diane.
Happy Mother's Day.
Hey, I want to ask a question. I don't want to keep it too long. I know you're off the air, but how did you, could you tell me how you arrived at the 13 years that Joseph stayed in jail? Could you tell me how?
Okay, he
conclusion.
Didn't stay in jail for 13 years, and it is really unknown exactly. The Bible doesn't say how many years he was in jail. But when he got to Potiphar's house and when he got out of jail, it was 13. We know he was in jail over 2 years because, remember, when the man got, the cupbearer got out, he didn't tell the king about Joseph till 2 years later. So we know that's 2 years. And I think they say they know he had been in jail 2 years before that. But nowhere can you find exactly how long he was in jail. But between jail and Potiphar's house, it was 13 years.
Okay. I just was curious about it. You know, I didn't,
yes.
I didn't know. So I wanted to call
this
it
is Sister Issa Thompson?
Hi, everyone. Happy Mother's Day
all
to
right.
all the mothers.
And Happy Mother's all Day right. to you, my sister, Issa Thompson.
Thank
you for pressing the line tonight. Huh?
You left one of your best friends out. You said your sister, your daughter, your grandson. You just say your best friend. Or one of your best friends.
Well, okay, and I'm elated. I always tell you guys, I thank God that
you called
back. And, you know, let me tell you something. It's, you know, I'm so excited because I have my childhood friends, which is Issa Thompson right now, pressing a button. You know, I have my family members that I said. I have my new church members calling in, and I have new friends calling in and old friends calling in, and they know me. You know, they know me in my flaws and my faults, but they – you know me, you know, and all I can say is y'all be patient with me because God is not through with me yet, but God gave me this assignment. There's no guessing in my game at this point, and I just love each and every one of you, and some of you guys, I probably, like I have a caller calling from area code 219, I know that's Miss Flash. Personal Happy Mother's Day to you. And then 279, that's Gwendolyn. you know, some numbers I know and some numbers I don't. And I didn't know your number, Easter, so I would have stayed it. See, I got to know the phone numbers. Names don't come up. It's just phone numbers. My good friend, one of my best friends, Deborah Campbell, is on the line tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank God and praise y'all. And anyone I didn't call your name, if you press the one button, you could say Happy Mother's Day and you could tell us your name. Because I don't know everybody's number, and I don't want to leave anybody out because I am grateful to each and every one of you. Y'all guys been calling back week after week, and this caller here, the number is 111111. Your mic is open.
I got to go put her in the bed. She's in the house there.
Caller number 111111.
Why's my name gonna come up? My call.
Okay, I think that was my friend Melvin Mitchell. I thank God for him as well. Anybody would like to say anything? If not, it's 9:35. We went over 5 minutes, but we got a lot done. And I thank God, like I say, for all of you. All of you. There's a call of 972-821. Your mic is open.
Hi, Miss Diane. This is Jamise Waterhouse. I just want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. And I just want to say you guys be blessed. And the word was very encouraging. I loved it. I will continue to listen. Thank you.
Thank you. And where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Diane. I'm calling from Texas. This is Edwina Weenie.
Yeah, I know you're the Waterhouse. Yeah. But I didn't know the area code 972. But I thank God for you, too. This is a part of my new family. I'm now joining families with the Waterhouses because we have got relationships going on. And I thank God for each and every one of you guys as well. And happy Mother's Day to you as well.
Thank you.
And be blessed as well. Anyone else before we cut off the line? Well, if anybody, this is the last thing I'm going to ask. If anybody would like me to speak about a particular character on next week, if you press the one button and give me the name, I'll do the research and we'll bring that forward. If not, next week I'm going to pick another character so we could see how God's work in the lives of his people. Remember, in the Old Testament, God dwelt among the people, among his people. In the New Testament, he lives inside of his people. That's our lesson for tonight, and I'm not going to do another prayer but a benediction, because this is always my prayer, that each and every one of us will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, and thank God. All of you be blessed, and keep doing what God wants us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and good night and be blessed.